It's Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host Mark Levonier, delivering an hour of quiz shows. Later on, Groucho Marx on You Bet Your Life. But first, an unusual quiz show on the Mutual Broadcasting System, and that is quick as a flash. This episode heard on March 10th, 1947.
Quick as a flash. Time to wind up your mind with Helbros. Makers of Helbros watches, H-E-L-B-R-O-S, Helbros, the correct watch for the correct time, present Quick as a Flash, the lightning-fast dramatized quiz starring Ken Roberts. And as guest detective for today, one of Hollywood's brightest young stars, Miss Martha Vickers, with Ray Block and the Helbros Orchestra. And here to get the program moving with the speed of lightning is our presiding officer, Ken Roberts.
Thank you, Sir Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are again, asking you to see if you can really act quick as a flash. Six contestants from our studio audience are going to match wits against each other. They'll try to see how quickly they can get the answers to our series of dramatic puzzles, today worth over $800. And you folks at home, you can play quick as a flash, too, by trying to beat our contestants to the answers. In our first puzzle of the day, worth $21 from Helbros, we're going to tell you the story of an event to which we all looked forward with bated breath. As soon as any of our six contestants know it, they'll stop the description by pressing on a buzzer like this. The one who is first with the correct answer wins, but they'll have only one chance in each race. On your mark now, let's see who's going to act quick as a flash as soon as they know this famous event.
It's over at last. Yes, today, 12 before the Ides of March, the enemy has been contacted and beaten on a narrow strip. Surrender. Surrender came only after a terrible blow, in which the enemy's headquarters was completely smashed to bits. Until the very end, the forces of good were hard-pressed. Those who followed the struggle day after day knew in their hearts that victory must come. But no one dared predict the fearful toll, the casualty lists that might pile up on that famous strip before the enemy's strength was shattered. For everyone who read the news realized this enemy being faced was one of enormous power, one who exerted almost superhuman mastery over all with whom he came in contact. In the dead of winter, there was only a slim chance of stopping him. But stopped he was after a grim face-to-face battle of the wills. This time there was no lane he could take, or any amount of money. No heart of flint to help him.
Without lightning strikes first this afternoon in front of Nancy Graham, who wants to try for this answer. What is your answer, Nancy Graham?
Was that Dick Tracy capturing employees?
It certainly was, Nancy Graham. And your prize in Helbros is $21. Yes, Nancy Graham, Quick as a Flash has just presented the stirring saga of the greatest manhunt in history, when influence's influence was finally ended. And, of course, you might have known when we spoke of a narrow strip, we were referring to the Dick Tracy comic strip. Well, Nancy Graham, what emotion swept through you at the news of influence's capture?
Well, Dick Tracy always gets his man, I don't know. You mean today, just now, when they were dramatizing it?
No, I mean when you finally heard the news. I guess you were pretty
happy. I was all excited.
You were. There's no doubt that Dick Tracy certainly caught influence. And now that he's mixed up with Misty Waters, let's hope he doesn't catch influenza. Nancy Graham, did you know before you came here today that our big mystery prize is worth $617?
I certainly did.
You did? Is that one of the reasons you came?
Well, kind of.
It is? Where'd you come from?
Well, right now, Bloomfield, New Jersey.
Uh-huh. Well, it's nice to have you with us today, and I think the people would like to know that the reason the prize for today is so big is that for the first time since we've been on the air, our mystery has gone unsolved 4 weeks in a row. In any case, you just exerted enough influence to win $21, and you'll have a chance to play Dick Tracy yourself in the Helbros Derby at the end of today's program. Now for our next Quick as a Flash puzzle with a purse of $31 from Helbros. In this race, Ray Block and the orchestra are going to describe, through the medium of music, a very famous event in our nation's history. By putting together the titles of the following songs, you should be able to tell us what event this is for $31. And I see lightning striking now in front of another of our contestants. That's George Blumenthal from here in New York City. And what event do you think this is, Mr. Blumenthal?
Would that be the Chicago Fire?
No, I'm sorry. It isn't the Chicago Fire, but that's a very good try. Somebody else wants to try at this very moment. That's Mrs. Mary Wasick. And what is your answer, Mrs. Wasick?
Would that be the San Francisco earthquake?
Yes, it would be the San Francisco earthquake, Mrs. Wasick. And Helgros presents you with $31. Well, you were really rocking, Mrs. Wasick. How did you get your answer about the San Francisco earthquake? What songs did Ray Block
play? San Francisco.
San Francisco? Well, some other songs might have given it to you before then.
I wasn't too sure, and then I figured I'd wait a while.
Well, waited for the right moment, of course. You waited for the moment when you could win. The other songs we heard were Rock and Roll, Hello, Frisco, Hello, and, of course, Hot Time and the Old Time Tonight. And I think you'll agree they do suggest the San Francisco earthquake, which, if you remember the MGM movie, was caused by Clark Gable.
I only saw it 5 times.
For whom? For Clark Gable?
No, for Jeanette McDonald. I like her.
You like her singing, do you?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to be able to sing?
No, I can't sing a note.
You can't. What do you do, Mrs. Wasick?
Well, I'm an actress.
You're an actress, are you?
Yes, sir.
And where do you do your acting?
At the Sub-Bass Players in New London, Connecticut.
In New London, Connecticut?
Yes,
I certainly wish you a very, very successful career.
Thank you.
You just shook us loose from $31, and we're a step closer to our big mystery starring that lovely young motion picture star. You'll be interested in this, Mrs. Wasick. We do have a famous actress with us today, Martha Vickers. And, of course, we do want to welcome our other contestants on Quick as a Flash. Seated next to you is a very fine gentleman from East Orange, New Jersey, Russell Hanson. Then a little further over is Polly Johnson, who works for the Veterans Commission in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And our other contestant of the day is James Hughes. He's the sixth of our contestants, a young boy in the Army from Grove City, Pennsylvania. We want to wish each and every one of you a lot of luck, including, of course, George Blumenthal, our policeman from New York City. And I think that about does it. We've heard from everybody else. Take you and our six contestants into our next Quick as a Flash contest worth $41 from Hellbrook. This time, we're going to test your knowledge of literature. Our storyteller will be a character from one of the most famous works of fiction ever written. What widely read work would you say this character was from? For $41.
They say fools will rush in where angels fear to tread. Well, I guess I'm no angel when I think how I got rushed in my heyday. Well, there wasn't a gentleman for miles around who didn't know me. But I guess I was stubborn as a mule, the way no man could ever budge me, except one. In the first chapter, I was his and only his. Maybe he didn't know it. All he'd have to do was call me and I'd come running. The only trouble was he never let me settle down anywhere. He made me chase around, especially after he got tied up with that certain famous character, the one who talked him into going out into the world to take up for the poor against the rich. From then on, between those two, I was almost rushed to death. All those night dates we went on, looking for fair ladies in distress to rescue. What for? I don't know.
Now, there's a flash of a streak of lightning in front of Mrs. Wasick again, and you're going to try and answer this how, Mrs. Wasick?
Would that be Robin Hood?
No, I'm sorry, it isn't Robin Hood, Mrs. Wasick. We have 5 guests still trying on Quick as a Flash, and we'll pick up our story where we had just heard the words, looking for fair ladies in distress to rescue.
What for? I don't know. They only got laughed at by the whole world once our little story was translated. And all I got out of the whole thing was corns from hoofing it all over Castile. And I don't mean soap, but...
And there is somebody else who wants to try. That's a white flash of lightning, which appears before George Blumenthal. And your answer, Mr. Blumenthal?
Would that be Don Quixote?
It certainly would be Don Quixote, Mr. Blumenthal. And you win a Hellbros prize of $41. Your race, Mr. Blumenthal. Quick as a Flash has just brought us some of the scenes from that classic novel by Cervantes, Don Quixote. And, of course, might have been some listeners at home who got the answer before you did. Do you ever play Quick as a Flash at home?
Yes.
And
frequently.
You frequently do? Do you manage to do as well as you've done so far today?
Well, at home, I win them mentally.
You win them mentally. You just don't get the $41 that you just won.
Exactly.
Is that it? What do you call your home, Mr. Blumenthal?
I live in the Bronx in Parkchester.
And would you like to tell us what you do? I think everybody would like to know.
I'm a police officer in the city of New York.
Well, I think you're the first police officer from New York City we've ever had on our show. We're very happy and proud to have you with us today. As a police officer, do you think you could solve a personal mystery for me?
I could try. I smell a gag coming, though.
Well, I don't know. I don't think of it as a gag. I'm really... Where can I find a place to park?
That's a problem that every police officer has.
You have them too, eh? Well, I'm happy to hear the police officers have their own cars, at any rate. And of course, we'll have a chance to show how good a detective you are, in addition to a policeman, in just a few moments, when you'll have a chance to win $617 in our Hellbros Derby. Of course, I know our other guests will try to be quicker than you in our next race, our lucky race. For this time, Hellbros will pay the winner $51, plus a beautiful Hellbros original watch. In this special race, we're going to reconstruct our version of a conversation that might have taken place just before a famous event. Who was the leading figure in this event? For $51 and a Hellbros watch.
For those of you who may be interested in success stories, this was my system. A great poet named John Donne once wrote, "Never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee." And I can testify to the truth of his observation. For the action of one affects the lives of us all. But I didn't realize this when I started on my conquest, nor what it could lead to. True, I had some small idea, but even my number two man thought I was overconfident.
I tell you, sir, you can't go on like this.
Why not?
Because the idea's crazy.
You dare say that to me?
Oh, I know of your triumphs in the past, but look at what you're taking on now. This new project of yours may ruin us all.
You're wrong, my friend.
All right, suppose you are successful. What will it mean?
It will mean a decided change in the way certain people live.
Is that to be desired?
I think so. That's what we call progress. Don't you see, if I can accomplish this task, someday in the not-too-distant future, I can join the neighboring country to it.
And where do you go from there?
There's no telling. Tomorrow it may be the whole world.
I tell you, it's impossible. Others have tried it before.
Yes, Watson. But they made the mistake in not using the direct
approach. There's a surprise of the streak of lightning in front of one of our early winners. That's Mrs. Wasick trying again. And who do you say this is, Mrs. Wasick?
I think it's Alexander Graham Bell on the telephone.
It certainly is, Mrs. Wasick. That's a wonderful answer, and you win $51 and a Hellbros watch. Yes, Lucky Bell certainly told for you then, Mrs. Wasick. In honor of the 100th anniversary of the invention of the telephone, Quick as a Flash has just introduced the inventor, Alexander Graham Bell. What was the clue in our story that gave you the answer?
Watson. Watson was his partner.
Was his assistant, and you remembered that. Well, isn't that wonderful? Of course, when Alexander Bell said the neighboring country would be joined to his, he meant it would be by the new means of communication he had invented. And in our first words, we might have guessed it was Bell speaking of the telephone company he developed when he said, "This was my system." Well, Mrs. Wasick, what is your system for winning on Quick as a Flash? You've won two races so far and one watch. And I think we'd like to know how you do it.
My system?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Roberts, I've been listening to you for quite a number of years. As a matter of fact, I stay home every Sunday night just to listen to you.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't stay home.
And all these stories, I take in the words. I notice the words that they say. So many a times I want to watch at home.
Now for our big race, the Hellbros Derby. We've already quizzed our contestants on their ability to recognize famous events, books, and personalities. And now we test their powers of deduction. We do this in a mystery play in which we ask an outstanding guest to set the problem for us. Today we've invited one of Hollywood's brightest young stars. I'm sure you remember her as the younger sister of Lauren Bacall in The Big Sleep and as co-star with Dane Clark in Warner Brothers' That Way with Women. The contestant who first spots the clue which solves our mystery will be awarded $101 plus an additional $516. Since the Derby has gone unsolved for the past 4 weeks. So that makes our total of $617 for today. And now, it is my great pleasure to introduce Miss Martha Vickers.
Thank
you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Ken Roberts.
Well, it's a great pleasure to have you here, Martha, for a number of reasons. You know, you're one of the few women detectives we've ever had on Quick as a Flash.
I hope you won't be sorry for it, Ken.
There's no danger of that, but naturally I envy the killer in your story.
Why?
Well, with your looks, it ought to be a pleasure to be taken in by you. But suppose you tell us a little about the character you're going to play.
Well, I got the idea, Ken, when I played in The Big Sleep with Humphrey Bogart. Bogart always lands the guilty culprit, but he takes a terrible beating doing it, and it seemed to me there ought to be some way to get your man without working so hard, if you know what I mean.
I think I do, Martha. Ladies and gentlemen, Quick as a Flash presents Martha Vickers as Private Detective Phyllis Marlin in The Case of the Dangling Man.
It was exactly 2:30 p.m. on Friday afternoon when I first saw Arthur Lyon. He was my first client. Up to that time, New York seemed to be full of people who didn't need a woman private detective. So naturally, I was a little surprised when Mr. Lyon decided to give me the business.
You're probably wondering why I picked on you, Miss Marlin.
Now that you mention it, Mr. Lyons, I am.
Well, I feel this thing calls for a woman's touch. I want you to find a man named Albert Valentino.
Valentino?
That's right. I've got a proposition I want to put to him.
Why don't you approach him directly?
For two reasons. I don't know where he's located, and even if I did, I don't think he'd listen to me.
What makes you think I'd have better luck?
Couldn't help worse. Besides, Valentino fancies himself as a ladies' man, and you're the kind of gal would interest him.
I don't see why.
Well, you're not sitting where I am. What do you say, Miss Martin?
All right, Mr. Lyons. I'll do my best. I suppose I should have suspected something then. For when I picked up the phone book, I found a listing for Albert Valentino. I couldn't see how Lyons could have overlooked it. Then I thought it might be the wrong party. So I decided to check.
Hello.
I'd like to speak to Mr. Albert Valentino, please.
Talking? Who's this?
You don't know me, Mr. Valentino. My name is Phyllis Marlin.
Phyllis? I met you at Roseland, maybe?
No, I'm a private detective. I represent a man named Arthur Lyon.
What?
He told me he had a proposition for you.
Don't believe him, Miss Martin. He wants to kill me.
You're imagining things, Valentino.
No, I don't. He tried twice before. We had a fight over some girl.
What happened?
Well, I can't tell you over the phone. Suppose I meet you tonight at 9 at the Sherry Bar.
You're sure you'll be there?
Listen, baby, if you look anything like you sound, nothing could keep me away.
But Mr. Valentino was unduly optimistic because I waited several hours for him at the Sherry. When he didn't show up by then, on a hunch, I called police headquarters. I was right. I was invited to put in an appearance at the morgue. There I was introduced to Sergeant Peter Haywood. It was obvious the sergeant didn't approve of women detectives. If he thought the thing to do was shock me out of the business, he almost succeeded when he lifted the sheet off the body of Albert Valentino. It wasn't nice. There was blood all over his coat and trousers, and his head looked as if he had tried to ram it against a wall.
Pretty, isn't it, Miss Marlin?
That all depends on your taste, Sergeant. How long was he dead when you found him?
About 3 hours.
He must have suffered a great deal.
Oh, the doc says death was instantaneous. Seen enough?
I think so.
Now, Miss Marlin, what was your connection with Valentino?
I had a date to meet him tonight at 9.
At which time he was dead almost an hour. What was the reason for the date?
A client of mine wanted me to talk to him.
What's your client's name?
Lyon.
Short little guy with pop eyes?
Yes.
Now, what do you make of this, Miss Marlin? Lyons was the boy who reported Valentino's death.
When was this?
About 11 o'clock.
Can I talk to Lyons?
Why?
Well, if Valentino was murdered...
Oh, who says it was murder?
Well, I assume...
That's not safe, sweetheart. In this racket, you never assume anything unless you can prove it. But from what I've seen of Mr. Lyons, I wish you luck.
Sergeant, I've told you everything I possibly could.
Not everything, Lyons. Why didn't you mention you hired Miss Marlin here to find Valentino?
I didn't think it was important. You see, a few hours after I left her office, I thought of looking in the phone book.
Why didn't you notify me?
I figured you'd be gone for the day. Anyway, I wanted to see Valentino before he got wind I was looking for him.
Why?
I had a business deal for him.
Yet Valentino told me you wanted to kill him.
The guy was nuts. I ask you, would any sane person do what he did?
And what was that, Lyon?
Well, he lived on the top floor of an old brownstone. When he saw me coming up the stairs, he ran up to the roof.
He was trying to get away from you?
Yeah, but for one reason. Or rather, for no reason at all. I followed him up to the roof, yelling I just wanted to talk to him. But he kept on running. As he got to the edge of the roof...
You pushed him over.
No. His feet got tangled in a clothesline.
What?
That's right. One end of the line was tied to the chimney. The other end was laying there in the shape of a noose. That's what caught Valentino and caught his feet in. Before he could regain his balance, he fell over.
How far did he drop?
About two stories. Isn't that right, Sergeant?
Well, that's how we found him.
Just a second. How tall is this building?
Five stories.
Then how come he only fell two?
You'd better explain that, Lyons.
Well, the rope wasn't long enough for him to fall any further, so he was yanked short in midair.
Then how did he die?
His head banged the window ledge on the third floor.
Is that possible, Sergeant?
And I see the flash of a streak of lightning now in front of our soldier of the afternoon who hasn't tried so far but is now trying for $617. That's James Hughes. And what do you find wrong with this?
Well, if he was hanging by his heels and his head hit the window ledge, why, his coat and pants would be covered blood.
Well, I think you absolutely hit it right on the nose, soldier from Grove City, Pennsylvania, James Hughes. And, of course, there's $617 that goes to you for winning the Hellgrove Survey. James Hughes just told us, Valentino never could have died in the manner described by Arthur Lyon. We heard that there was blood all over Valentino's coat and trousers. Yet, had he hung head down, which he had to, since the rope was around his feet, no blood from his skull fracture could possibly have run up to and all over his trousers. And the police sergeant pointed out that there were no other wounds on the body. Consequently, Valentino must have met his death from a blow on the head while he was in a normal position, and then Lyons pitched him off the roof head first. Well, that was certainly great work, James Hughes. And Martha Vickers, it was certainly a real thrill having you with us today.
I enjoyed every minute of it, Ken. And say, who's going to set the stage in next week's mystery puzzle?
One of radio's all-time favorites will pay us a return visit next Sunday. He's our mutual favorite and neighbor, Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow.
Well, Ken, you've got yourself a listener.
Thank you, Martha. And between now and then, we'd suggest that everyone be on the lookout for Martha Vickers' latest Warner Brothers release, That Way with Women. Now, thanks again, Martha Vickers. Before we leave you for the day, we want to take advantage of these few moments to talk to James Hughes just a moment. James, I see that you're in the Army. Of course, everybody who's here with us today can see that. You didn't speak up all during the program. This is the first word we've had from you, but you spoke up at the most propitious moment, winning $617 for yourself. Were you waiting for this moment?
Well, kind of.
Are you usually so expert at mysteries?
Well, I like mysteries a lot, and I could usually solve yours on the air pretty well.
You can?
Yes.
And have you been able to solve them during the past 4 weeks when they weren't solved?
Well, I haven't had much chance to listen to it.
During the past 4 weeks you hadn't? Well, it's a good thing you weren't here the past 4 weeks. They'd have been solved then, too, I suppose. Where are you from, James?
I'm from Grove City, Pennsylvania.
Grove City, Pennsylvania.
That's right.
And how long have you been in the Army?
I've been in about 6 months now.
6 months? And what did you do before you joined?
I was going to college.
To college? And what would you be getting out of the Army soon, do you think?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know? Have you made any plans to do with what you're going to do with yourself when you do get out of the Army?
Well, of course, go back to college.
Back to college?
That's right.
What college is that, James?
Grove City. It's in Grove City, Pennsylvania.
In Grove City, Pennsylvania. Well, you just won $617, and I don't know if you expected to win it when you came here. I don't know if you have any plans as yet, but what do you think you're going to be doing with that money?
Hard to say.
Hard to say? Well, we certainly hope you use it to very good advantage and maybe help you get through school when you do get out of the Army. We want to thank you for being with us today, offer you our congratulations, and also our congratulations to our other contestants. who won today, too. Nancy Graham, George Blumenthal, and Mrs. Wussick, who did win $82 and a Helbroth watch. Thank you all for being with us.
Quick as a Flash on Tuned to Yesterday, a live broadcast from March 10th, 1947 on Mutual. The guest actress on that program, billed as the famous actress Martha Vickers, might not be so familiar these days, but in the year of that broadcast, she had appeared alongside Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall in Howard Hawks' production of The Big Sleep in the role of the bratty sister Carmen. You are listening to an hour of quiz shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now a classic episode of You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx, heard on CBS Radio on October 19th, 1949.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't tell a soul, but the secret word tonight is clock, C-L-O-C-K.
Really?
You bet your life! Elgin American, creator of America's most beautiful compact, smartest cigarette cases, magic action lighters, finest dresser sets, presents Groucho Marx in the Elgin American show, You Bet Your Life, the comedy quiz series produced and transcribed from Hollywood. And here's that sterling Elgin American, the one, the only...
Groucho!
Face is familiar, but I don't place the name. Oh, that's me, Groucho Marx! Thank you. Well, here I am again with $2,000 for one of our couples tonight. George Fenneman, who's first to try and take it away from me?
Just before we went on the air, we asked if there were any youngsters present who'd like to get married someday if they found the right partner. And our studio audience selected Valerie Cote and Mike Maloof. Folks, meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome for Elgin American Compacts. And if you say the secret word at any time we're talking, I'll pay $100 in cash instantly. It's a common word, something you see every day. Valerie Cote, is that the way you
pronounce it? That's right.
Where are you from, Valerie?
I'm a native.
Native of what?
California.
Of California, huh? And Mike? Mike Maloof?
Yes, sir.
Where's your hometown, Mike?
I'm a native also.
Oh. What a coincidence, huh? You're both in the same train. Hmm? How old are you, Mike?
I'm 25.
And how old are you, Valerie?
19.
Tell me, why would you like to get married?
Home, children, security.
Mm-hmm. You can get that at the bank, you know. Right? And, Mike, why would you like to get married?
Well, sir, I have no particular reason.
Well, don't start thinking of any reasons or you'll change your mind. By the way, what sort of work do you do, Mike?
Well, I'm the chief usher at the Paramount Hollywood Theater.
Oh, West Point graduate, huh? Well, hush my mouth. Say, if you two are married, you could set up housekeeping in the lobby, huh? You could live on popcorn. That's in case you want to butter him up. You understand. Where do you work, Valerie?
I'm a fountain girl.
Would you give me that again, please?
I'm a fountain girl.
You're a fountain girl? What park do you spout in?
I don't spout.
You don't spout?
No, I work at Chapman's Soda Fountain.
Oh, I see. What do you do at your soda fountain?
Make Cokes, sodas, shakes.
And shakes?
Shakes.
Would you mind shaking for me now? Mike, let's get back to you. You're still here, I presume,
yes,
eh?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, you'll have to wait. There aren't any seats. As an usher, just what do you do, Mike?
Well, sir, I'm in charge of all the ushers. I schedule their days off and make sure that everything runs smoothly when people come into the theater.
Well, what are some of the complaints you have against movie customers, Mike?
One of our biggest annoyances would be people in the balcony, young kids shooting water all over the audience on the main floor with little water pistols. They're awful hard to find.
Yeah, they're hard to find? You mean the pistols are hard to find?
Yes, they're hiding in their coats when we come to look for them.
Uh-huh. Well, you must spend some very interesting moments, huh? Looking for concealed water pistols in the bathroom. Huh? Do you ever send five people into a row where there's only three seats?
Well, that happens occasionally.
Mm-hmm. And what happens then?
Well, they come out the other end.
Well, you're a charming couple, and we want you to have each have a gift from our sponsor.
For Miss Valerie Cote, Elgin American's exclusive heart-shaped compact that's entirely different. It's jeweler's bronze that looks like gold. Mm.
And it goes with my outfit, too.
Well, good.
Well, Mike will go with your outfit, too.
And for Mike Maloof, Elgin American's popular cigarette case with today's smart leather-like look. Something to show off, Mike.
Thank you very much. It's lovely.
Mike, are you interested in any particular girl?
No, I'm not.
Are you interested in a girl if she's particular?
I don't mean that. I mean, I'm no special girl at the moment.
Some usher. He doesn't even have a lady in the balcony. Now, what's the favorite dish you make at your fountain, Valerie?
It's the ice cream banquet. It's 60
cents. Ice cream banquet?
Mm-hmm. We have a...
How do you make it?
We have a scoop of chocolate, scoop of vanilla, scoop of strawberry, scoop of coffee, scoop of peach, scoop of banana nut, scoop of lemon stick, fresh peaches, pineapples, strawberries, raspberries, marshmallow, full fudge, real whipped cream, pecans, almonds, walnuts, and a cherry.
And how much extra is the stomach pump? Well, are you fond of soda fountain specials, Mike?
Yes, sir, I am.
I'm not talking about Valerie here, you know. Although she's not a bad dish. Would you like to go to a movie with him, Valerie?
Oh, I think so.
And Mike, would you like to hold hands with a girl like in your theater?
Yes, sir.
You'd like to hold hands with a girl in your theater? Very romantic picture. You holding hands with a girl as you run up and down the aisle. Valerie, you better have very long arms. Now answer yes or no. Will you take this girl to your movie?
Yes, sir.
Then I now pronounce you double features. And may you have many selected short subjects. Well, I hope we started something between you two here tonight. And if anything besides a double marshmallow sundae develops, be sure to let us know. Now, in just 1 minute, you're going to work together for $2,000. You're going to play You Bet Your Life. Fenneman, bring them up to date on the rules.
Each of our three couples has $20. They bet as much of that 20 as they want on each of four questions. The couple that earns the most money gets a chance at the $2,000 question at the end of the show. Our other two couples are in a waiting room off stage, so they don't know what's happening out here.
Here we go. Let's see how high you can build your $20. What question category did you select?
Movie star.
Married names of movie stars. Yes. Is that right? All right, here's your first question. How much will you bet? You've got
$20.
Ten? Shirley Agar is her married name. What is her screen name?
Temple.
Shirley Temple is right.
And they're off to a great start, Groucho. They have $30.
How much of your $30 will you bet?
$15.
What is Esther Gage's screen name?
Esther Williams.
Esther Williams is correct.
They're on their way. They have $45.
Here's your third question. How much of the $45 are you going to risk?
$20.
What is Betty Briskin's screen name?
Betty Hutton.
Betty Hutton. These fellas too smart.
They're really on their way. They have $65.
No wonder he's a general in that movie theater now. Here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the $65 are you going to try?
$50.
Okay. What is Jane Waterfield's screen name?
Jane Russell.
Jane Russell is on the nose.
And they wind up with a grand total of $115. Pretty good.
Thanks and good luck from Elgin American Compacts. Don't run off now. You still have a chance at the big question. Who's next, George?
A married man selected from our studio audience and is his partner, a mind reader. They've been off stage, so they don't know the secret word is clock. The gentleman is Mr. Bob Lampert and the mind reader, Mrs. Roberta Vincent. And here they are. Folks, meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome to the Elgin American program. And if you say the secret word at any time we're talking... Wait a minute, a mind reader. She probably knows what the secret word is already. Having a secret word with a mind reader is like carrying coals to John L. Lewis. Roberta, let's make it fair. If your partner says the secret word, I'll pay $100 instantly. It's a common word, something you see every day. And you're the partner. Bob Lampert. You're a mind reader, eh, Roberta?
That's right.
I'm surprised you're still speaking to me then. Where are you from, Roberta?
Originally from Kansas City, Missouri.
And Mr. Bob Lampert, eh? Lampert?
That's right.
Where are you from?
Santa Ana.
What sort of work do you do?
I'm in the sporting goods business.
What kind of sporting goods?
Oh, rackets, fishing tackle.
Rackets?
Tennis rackets.
How long have you been in the racket, huh?
Oh, about 5 years.
Mm-hmm. How'd you meet your wife, Bob?
Well, I met her in her sleep.
What do you mean you met her in your sleep?
She was going to school at the time up at San Jose State. And it seems as though she overworks or crams or anything while she's a sleepwalker. Well, this night I happened to be walking down the street and I saw this job in the pink pajamas.
You saw this job, did you say?
That was before I was married to her.
And did you apply for a job?
Later on I did.
So, what happened?
There she was, and it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, I guess.
Hey, you said clock, and that's the secret word. That means you just won yourself $100. There it is. Congratulations. Now, where were we when that clock struck, huh?
We were at 2 at the in the morning.
That's right. You were on the main street and with chasing a girl in her pajamas. So what happened?
I went up, woke her up, and took her back to the house, and we got acquainted, and I kept coming back.
Like a song? Roberta, do you have any little prophets at home?
I have 2 of them.
What does your husband do, Roberta?
Well, he's the superintendent of Old's Manufacturing Company.
Well, how did he feel marrying a mind reader?
He didn't realize he was marrying a mind reader. He didn't know it for a year, and, well, just about a year after he was married.
Now, how did he find out?
Well, my bank account was so large and his was so small, he couldn't just figure it out.
And do you split the money now? I mean, are you...
Well, he uses all mine and all his, so that's what works.
Uh-huh. That's a nice arrangement, huh?
He doesn't object to it.
In addition to your bank account, what does your husband like about you particularly?
Oh, I'm a good cook. And I have a very nice disposition.
Mm-hmm. You look very amiable. Huh? Always cheerful. Yeah.
Always cheerful, very cheerful.
Your husband is a very fortunate man. Yeah. Not many people that have found a happy medium. Huh? How would you like to be married to a mind reader, Mr. Lampert? Huh?
Might as well be. I can't keep a secret from my wife anyway.
See, how long have you been married, did you say?
7 years.
7 years. And how old is your wife?
29.
Do you think your wife wants you to broadcast that little piece of information? On CBS, where 99 million people gather every week?
Hadn't thought of that.
Roberta, where do you do this mind reading?
Well, at the various E-Bell clubs and Eastern Stars and schools.
Well, I don't go in for mind reading. The keyhole is good enough for me. Which do you find the hardest to read, a woman's mind or a man's?
Oh, a man's mind, much harder.
Well, why is that?
A woman will believe anything you tell her.
Not when you stagger in at 3 o'clock in the morning. Huh? Now, suppose I took a $20 bill out of my pants pocket. Could you tell me the serial number on it?
Yes, I could.
Could you also tell me whose pants I was wearing? Suppose you run into some schmo whose mind is a complete blank. What do you do then?
Well, no person has a completely blank mind.
Have you ever been in a nightclub around 4 in the morning? Mr. Lampert, do you agree with what she said? Roberta, I rest my case. Well, you make an interesting couple, and we want both of you to have some lovely gifts from our sponsor. Fenneman, would you mind doing the honors?
Not at all. For Mrs. Vincent, Elgin American's beautiful dresser set in jeweler's bronze with a look of gold.
Did you know you were going to get that, Roberta?
No, I didn't.
Fine mind reader, huh?
Surprise.
Funny, I knew it, and I'm not a mind reader.
Add for Mr. Bob Lampert, pearls for your wife. Elgin American's beautiful pearls. They're the finest pearls made by man. I'm sure your wife will enjoy them, Bob.
Very nice.
Well, now let's play You Bet Your Life for $2,000. Run your $20 into more than our other couples, and you get the chance at the big question later. Now, wait a second. Roberta ought to know all the answers. She'd win in a walk. Mr. Lampert, is your wife in the audience?
Yes, she is.
Would you ask her to come up here and participate in the quiz?
Hey.
She can be your partner.
Come on up, Ellen.
Ellen, come on up, will you? You see, nobody's safe while we're doing this show. How is it you're not in your pajamas, Helen? Hello, Mrs. Lampert. Welcome for Elgin American Compact. Do you think you're going to be of much help to your husband?
He's going to need help when I get him home.
Well, you help him with the answers, and perhaps he'll win enough to buy you a new mink coat. All right, Fenneman's offstage. Remind our listeners how much the first couple won.
The usher and the soda fountain girl won $115.
Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. What question category did you select?
Down on the farm.
Down on the farm. You're a farm boy, huh? Here's your first question. How much will you bet? You've got $20.
Bet 10.
10? What kind of an animal is a Guernsey?
It's a cow.
They're off to a good start. They have $30.
Now, remember, you're going for $2,000 tonight. How much of your $30 will you bet?
$25.
What kind of an animal is a shire? S-H-I-R-E.
It's a goat.
No, I'm sorry. It's a horse.
It's they now horse. Have $5.
Well, now you've only got $5. Now, here's your third question. How much of the five are you going to try?
Shoot the five.
Shoot the five. All right. What is a Plymouth Rock?
A chicken.
The chicken is correct.
They're on their way again. They have $10.
Here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the $10 are you going to risk?
Shoot the 10.
Shoot the 10. What kind of an animal is a Holstein?
It's a cow.
It's a cow is correct.
They wind up with $20, Groucho, and on top of that, they said the secret word, so they got an extra $100.
Thanks and good luck from Elgin American Compacts. Now, in just 1 minute, our last couple will play You Bet Your Life, and then we know who gets the $2,000 question. And, George, who's ahead so far?
The usher and the soda fountain girl are leading with $115. Our final couple has been in a waiting room off stage, so they don't know the secret word is clock. And here they are, a volunteer from the Travelers Aid Society, Miss Nora Broach, and ship's purser Glenwood Hines, meet Groucho Marx.
Hello, folks, and welcome to You Bet Your Life. If you say the secret word at any time we're talking, I'll pay $100 in cash instantly. It's a common word, something you see every day. Mrs. Broach?
Miss Broach.
Miss Broach, that's a good name for a woman on a jewelry show, isn't it? Mrs. I'll call you Nora, huh?
All right.
You're with the Traveler's Aid, eh? Tell me, just where do you travel?
I don't travel.
Well, where are you from?
Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan.
How'd you get here?
I took a train.
Pretty smooth article, isn't it? It isn't easy swiping a train, you know. They leave those telltale tracks all the time. Paisa Hines, Glenwood Hines, huh? You sound like a summer resort. You know, you ask somebody, where have you been? He said, I was up to Glenwood Hines for a couple of weeks. Now, Paisa, what do you do on your ship besides snatch purses?
Oh, I listen to people's complaints and make out the payroll.
Tell me something about your boat.
Well, it isn't a boat, it's a ship.
Wise guy. Well, how much do you charge for a bucket of live bait on your ship?
It's a passenger ship.
A passenger?
Passenger ship.
Well, how much do you charge for a bucket of live passengers on your ship? Just where does your Mutzkow go? All the romantic far-off places like Singapore, Cairo, Bali?
No, we go to Catalina. That's romantic.
Catalina, is that the total length of your voyage? From Los Angeles to Catalina?
No, go to...
Where else do you go?
Catalina to Los Angeles.
Man, the lifeboat's made, I struck a rock. How big is your ship, Glenwood?
Oh, it's about 300 feet long, 52 feet in width.
What's her capacity?
Oh, it's about 1,950 passengers.
Is that fully loaded?
Well, the ship, not the passengers.
You're turning into a joke snatcher, you know. I was laying for that joke, too. Now, tell me, Moby Dick, how long did... How How long this tramp steamer you're on? How long does it? How long does it take to make your Catalina trip?
Which way?
Any way but down. Huh? How long to Avalon?
It takes about 2 hours and 10 minutes, sir.
And coming back?
About 2 hours.
Why is it faster coming back? Is it downhill?
No, it's we take a different route and it's a little shorter.
You take a different route?
And it's
why,
a little shorter.
Why, you get sick of the scenery on the other side? You ever get seasick?
No.
Has the airplane business hurt the boat business much going on?
I don't know. Airplane passengers, they get seasick and they come aboard and take the ship ride. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. Mm-hmm.
I never took the vice versa. Is that boat? That's a much smaller boat, isn't it? Now, what do these people do once they reach Catalina?
Well, they usually go up to the famous Bird Park, Seal Rock Colony, and they also take the famous glass-bottom boat ride.
Glass-bottom boat?
Glass-bottom boat, yes, sir.
I've heard of boxes with glass jaws, but never with glass... Well, never mind. Why do they have a glass bottom?
Well, so they can see the marine life.
Well, some of those Marines have very interesting lives. However, I didn't know you could see them through a glass-bottom boat. Well, let's get back to you, Nora. It's good to see you again. Did you have a nice trip?
I haven't traveled anywhere.
Well, it's done you a lot of good anyway. As a traveler's aid worker, just what do you do?
Oh, we help people who come into the station who are lost. We give them information and direction service.
Well, what do you get for all this trouble? That's.
I don't get paid for it. It's volunteer service.
And why do you go to all this trouble if you don't get paid for it? Hanging around the station.
Well, it's very interesting work, and there's a good deal of satisfaction in helping people.
Well, that's a wonderful philosophy. Do you have any other job, Nora?
Yes, I work at the Los Angeles Credit Managers Association.
Well, what are your hours there?
From 8 o'clock in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon.
If I'd only learned to keep my big mouth shut, huh? Well, Nora, you just said clock, and that's the secret word tonight, so you just made yourself $100. I see the sailor is horning in on it over here. A typical sailor, huh? Well, you make a very interesting couple, and to show you our appreciation, Fenneman has some attractive gifts from our sponsors. Go ahead, George.
Gladly, Groucho, for Miss Nora Broach, pearls. The finest simulated pearls at any price. Elgin American pearls from the island of Mallorca.
Oh, they're just beautiful.
For our purser, this slim, sleek, sterling silver cigarette case by Elgin American, handsomely hand-engraved.
Thanks a lot.
Now you're going to play your bet your life. If you beat our other two couples, you'll get a crack at the $2,000. I can't tell you how much they won, but George is offstage to remind our listeners.
The usher and the soda fountain girl are still ahead with $115.
Let's see how high I can build you $20. What question category did you select?
Capitals of the world.
Capital cities of the world. Here's your first question. How much will you bet?
$10.
$10.
What is the capital city of Spain?
Madrid.
Madrid is correct.
We're off to a good start. They have $30.
Remember, you're going for $2,000 tonight. How much of your $30 will you try?
$15.
What is the capital city of Iraq? I-R-A-Q. Iraq. Take a stab. I'm sorry, it's Baghdad. That was a tough one.
They now have $15.
All right, you've got $15. Here's your third question. How much of the 15 will you try?
10.
What is the capital city of the Republic of Israel?
Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv is right. Yeah.
Well, they're on their way again. They have $25.
All right, you've got $25. Here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the 25 are you going to risk?
20.
20.
What is the capital city of Greece?
Athens.
Athens is right.
And they wound up with $45, Groucho. And on top of that, they said the secret word, so they got an extra $100. And that means the usher and the soda fountain girl with $115 get the chance at the $2,000 question. And here's the winning couple, Groucho.
Well, back again to try for $2,000, eh? Good luck, and I'll give you 15 seconds to decide on a single answer between you, so talk it over thoroughly and no help in the audience, please. Here it is. The East and the West were finally linked together when a golden spike was driven at Promontory Point, completing the first transcontinental railroad. In what state is Promontory Point? Mr. Maloof, what is the answer you two have decided upon?
Wyoming.
Oh, I'm sorry. The correct answer is Utah.
Oh!
So that means the big question next week will be worth $2,500.
But for beating our other couples, Groucho, they each receive the amazing new Apollo 16-millimeter movie projector to show Hollywood sound movies and the moving pictures you take yourself.
And in addition, you receive those lovely gifts from Elgin American, and you won $115. That makes it a very profitable evening all around. Congratulations and thanks to both of you.
You Bet Your Life on Tuned to Yesterday from the 19th of October, 1949 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of quiz programs on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.